Welcome to Planet Gridiron Radio on Voice America Sports, a leader in internet media.
And hey, 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 happy Friday to you. It's Dave Lockhart, Sheldon, and Roland, and we're keeping it real, keeping it live. Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports, man. And to all our many, many, many listeners out there, I hope you kept it hype because you know we keep it real and we keep it with football. And ain't nothing like the NFL draft to keep the football thing rolling around on Planet
Gridiron. This is the best time of year. I like this more than... I like the combine, I like the draft, I like the spring.
To me, this is the worst time of the year, last couple of weeks, until it bridged into what we're doing now, which is the draft.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. So now,
other than the season, I'm saying. Other than actual season, yeah.
And it's starting to pick up steam now, as we know, because we've got the NFL draft. And this starts, the countdown for Super Bowl, New Jersey, New York.
So what do we have now? We have, after tomorrow.
You start the minicamps. You get the rookies in, the rookies start.
They don't come in until July.
No, but they do the two-week minicamp.
They
do a two-week minicamp deal. And that's for those ones who don't go to that quarter system, because the ones like to go to UCLA and things like that, they have certain prohibitions, that they can't go through all of the training and all of the stuff, but they can do the mini stuff that they're getting ready to do.
Last year, Andrew Luck, he went back to school. Right. And the Colts helped him finish school.
Right, by sending in the playbook and all that stuff. So that kind of sped up the process. But before we delve really, really into what's happening, which is this NFL draft 2013, we must talk about just briefly some of the happenings in other sports, such as the NBA playoffs, which is news to me. Folks clicked on the screen and found out that Mr. Russell Westbrook seems to be out indefinitely.
He has no scheduled return. I think with the surgery, he should be back within a couple weeks, depending on how the Thunder do. Now, the fact that he's hurt and Harden in Houston, and then that series going back and forth, who knows? Who knows how much longer the Thunder have?
Well, and for all those who don't know, because I just quickly picked this up myself, Russell Westbrook apparently tore a meniscus in one of his knees.
Is that a two-week injury?
It all depends on where you're at.
It depends on the surgery and his heart and how much he wants to come back. But he has never missed a career game. And as long as his career, he has never missed a game.
He'll be missing the next one, though.
He
definitely.
Did he miss last night?
He didn't play last night. He tore it apparently night before last.
So he didn't play last night.
And then you had also Jeremy Lin, remember, suffered the bruised sternum or chest. Yeah. So he came out of the game, and he's day to day, and they don't know. And then you got Stephen Curry with them raggedy ankles of his.
Yep.
And he said last night, if he had to play against the Nuggets last night, he was not a go, but he's hopeful that he'll be able to go this evening.
Is this a team that's in the playoffs is just falling apart now, or?
Those are three different teams.
Okay. And all of them have contributors or starters or stars that are now injured. And that's causing a problem. You even got the Celtics, the old ass.
Rondo's out.
Well, you got Garnett also claiming a hip pointer or some type of hip pointer type of injury. Now, so they're hopeful that he will be able to play as well.
The playoffs are going to be interesting now. Kobe's out. Rondo's out. Curry, day to day.
So they're all even.
Westbrook.
Yep. No, the Heat about to peel some wigs back.
The Heat's healthy.
You have Dwayne Wade having to get knee treatment, but he's had knee treatment and knee ailments throughout his career.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's just something that he has to deal with, and that's nothing new. So he can play through that, it appears. And let's be honest, they about to wear that tail out on Milwaukee.
That's not a fair series. That 1-8 matchup is by far the most...
Lopsided,
easily.
Well, I think the 2-7 also in the East is as well, because New York Knicks are going to handle the Celtics. The Celtics are old, they can't score with them, and it's over potting.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have a ball handler, you need a guard. You need good guard play when it comes to the playoffs, okay? And they just don't have it at this point with Rajon Rondo going down. So it is what it is, folks, but that's all, in my opinion, that's really hopping. Now let's get to what's really going on.
About hockey?
We ain't talking about that. Everybody got no time for no hockey. You're the only one here. We gotta talk about some dang old hockey, man.
Yep.
Ain't nobody interested in no dang old hockey, man. And just briefly before we go on, we know that Barry Larkin's son is giving up his last 2 years at University of Miami. He's turning pro.
Napier's coming out too.
Soccer player?
Basketball.
Come on,
here we go once again. And Rick Pitino finally got that tattoo of Louisville.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
It's a nice little tattoo on his back. Pretty good size for him. He's 60 years old?
Yeah, he's 60 plus.
60 plus, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, let's go to what's really happening. So, interesting. The NFL draft started last night, kicking it off and introducing or getting ready for the new 2013-2014 season. We had the Kansas City Chiefs up, and They had a choice. They said they knew who they were going to pick, and it was between the two tackles, Luke Jokel, the known commodity out of Texas A&M, versus a lesser-known commodity, Eric Fisher, out of Central Michigan. And I don't think it was stunning because all the, I guess, pundits were saying they were going to go with Fisher, who played against lesser competition. And, in fact, that's what Kansas City did do. They went with Eric Fisher over Luke Jokel. It did not shock me, the choice. I was going to roll to Sheldon. So why were you shocked?
Because Jokel being there in Texas A&M, okay. SEC, Central Michigan, that competition, that level of hype, it's not there. Central Michigan hasn't played teams like Alabama. Central Michigan hasn't – he hasn't shown, in my book – what it takes to be an elite tackle in the league.
And I just beg to differ with that, with the upbringing. I would agree, the pedigree, looking at it on paper, you may want to give the nod to Luke Jokel, but the reason why you're willing to give that nod is based upon the playing of more elite players. He did go from the Big 12. He also went into the SEC this year. So you know the level of competition. I'm not going to compare the competition in the MAC to the competition of the Big 12, because it's not even close.
No.
You also see that he is very diverse in that he's able to play within a system that is more suited for a Tannehill, and then next year he turns around and plays for Johnny Manziel and protects him in this wide-open offense. However, I think, and everyone did conclude ultimately, that the more athletic of the two, and you know, you always hear about the floor-ceiling comparisons, Eric Fisher has more of a ceiling, if you will, as opposed to Luke Jokel. Luke Jokel did step in as a true freshman. He started every game at Texas A&M. Game. That is quite impressive. Uh-huh. But look at the pedigree of Eric Fisher, too. Now, he did not start against as great a competition, but he has over 30-plus starts. 30. Both of them are true left tackles. You have one that is extremely athletic, one that's quicker, faster, and he's also a little bit bigger from the standpoint of height. They roughly weigh about the same thing.
Three something, right?
Yeah, they're both 306. They both weighed in around 306. Both are very athletic, okay? Uh-huh. But of the two, one is more athletic than the other. And I think what I heard Reed say and John Dorsey, the GM there, was that he, Fisher, fits what they wanted to do a bit better than Jokel.
And that's probably true with, you know, Andy Reid being in Kansas City now and his philosophy for an offense. You know, who knows? Just time will tell kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think both of them will be good tackles. Now, will they be great tackles? That remains to be seen. Now, the opportunity to be a great tackle due to the athleticism and versatility and the ceiling, if you will, could be Lane Johnson, the fourth pick that went to Philadelphia. And as we know, folks, it was a run on all these offensive linemen. Not necessarily skill, but a run on the offensive linemen who dominated. I believe there were 9 offensive linemen that were taken in the first round of this year's draft. And for anyone who would love to join this great conversation that we're having on this lovely Friday, April 26, 2013. Hit us up, 888-346-9144. Before we move forward, though, we do have to give a shout-out to our executive producer, Ray Ellis, who will be enjoying a birthday. And I'm going to give a shout-out even to my assistant secretary. Today is her birthday. So, Mireya Conyers, wishing you a happy birthday as well. Mr. Engineer, I think we are approaching. It looks like we are. And if it is true, why don't you roll us? Because we'll come on back on the backside with more goody up, more good talk on this NFL draft. Stay with us. What's America Sports? Dave Lockhart, Sheldon Rowland, Planet Gridiron.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports. Voice America Sports.
We're back. Welcome, Voice America Sports Planet Gridiron Sheldon, Dave Lockhart, Roland Hill, taking you through this happy Friday, April 26th. And as we went to break, and now we'll pick up on the other side, is the thing that's hot, the most flavor, is that NFL draft. And, you know, Sheldon, well, we were on break just now, 10 seconds ago or so. Thanks, Mr. Engineer. We were talking about, you know, the flavor that's now coming into the Valley. You know, we needed, we being the Arizona Cardinals, that is, we needed a number of different elements or interjected into our team so that perhaps we can turn the corner. And certainly we all agreed, I think, and you could not ignore the fact that we needed some help on the offensive line, and we seem to have addressed that issue with not maybe one of the three hot tackles that went quickly and swiftly within the first four picks of this draft.
First time since 68 that the first three of the first four picks were offensive linemen.
That's correct. And that was the year of Yari. Ron Yari went number one overall, and this year we had Eric Fisher representing the first person ever to be selected first overall from Central Michigan. Might have even been a MAC.
First time a MAC individual was selected
first overall. But getting to what we did here in our own home state, we decided that we still obviously needed help. Mm-hmm. And we felt that despite many people who always say picking in the top 10, you just stay away from guards. We said, no, we did take a guard, and we went with Jonathan Cooper. And he's the gentleman that came out of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And to much of the, I guess, dismay or even chagrin of a lot of people here in the Valley who are Chance Wormack fans, I understand, Sheldon, you like Chance Wormack, and I will say that I like Chance Wormack. Jonathan Cooper may actually be better suited for what we want to do here, but I at least want to hear, Sheldon, your thoughts with respect to the selection.
I just figured Chance Wormack, you know, being in Alabama and what he did on film, his numbers weren't necessarily there, but his game film, his game speed, much better than Jonathan Cooper, I believe.
Well, and agree to disagree. I think what happens is that, no question, that Chance Wormack, he wouldn't have been a disappointment if we selected him. But what we have to determine is what are we trying to do in the state of Arizona, Arizona Cardinals offensively, and what lineman would be better suited. I think what Arians is trying to say is that he wants a bit of a more athletic, a more fluid moving type of offensive lineman as opposed to, let's say, a road grader. Okay, I don't think necessarily you could have gone wrong with either. I don't.
No.
But it's apparent that John Cooper brings some things to the Jonathan Cooper brings some things to the table that you just can't ignore. One is the elite athleticism from the guard position. Mm-hmm. He is by far, as everyone has indicated, the more athletic of all the guards that were coming out. He also has something that you know, that may play out. Not even may. It will assist him, and that's the fact that this young man has a high IQ. He apparently has been a Dean's List member for a number of years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was recruited by 11 schools or whatever out of college, out of high school, excuse me. And all of these schools are academic, kind of intensified type of universities.
Cool.
And he scored extremely high from what I hear on the Wonderlic compared to Chance Wormack, who dogged or blew it up. Now, that doesn't mean the man can't play football, okay, because
exactly.
He ain't asked, you know, to solve for
that. That takes me to Tavon Austin out of West Virginia.
Seven on his.
And he said last night, just because I scored low on my Wonderlic doesn't mean I'm not smart. I did do 4 years of college.
Yeah.
At West Virginia, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So he can play ball.
Oh, he can ball.
And I think it's a great pick by St. Louis.
Okay, yeah. Moving on from, you know, our Cardinals again, that, in my opinion, was a great selection. It was a need selection, and it definitely was a good selection.
You filled your needs, which is good.
Yeah, exactly.
The Raiders didn't do that.
Well, the Raiders, it remains to be seen, but no, they never seem to be able to follow through with what they need. Or they get enamored with, for whatever reason, side speed, athleticism, and they don't.
Reggie McKenzie, give me a call, please. Let me help you. Please, let me help you.
But let's talk about some of the teams you think that did do well. From what we hear, the Rams did extremely well with their selections.
St. Louis. Louis and Minnesota.
Yes. St. Louis was able to maneuver a trade to move up because it was, from what we're hearing, it was St. Louis's belief that the New York Jets, and sitting at nine, really wanted Tavon Austin.
And I'm sure they would have done it.
And Tavon Austin was very much wanted by the St. Louis Rams. And we saw that because, in my opinion, that may be a little high for an individual that's not a full-time player. And
he's a role player. Yeah. He's going to come in. He's going to run the ball, return kicks, run a little slot from time to time. But Bradford did run an upbeat tempo offense in Oklahoma.
That's right.
So he's going to help him out there. Jake Long coming over from Miami to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Who knows what St. Louis is going to do? St.
Louis has definitely made a statement. In fact, let's not forget, they had the best record in our division. They were 4-1-1. Okay. That was even better than San Francisco. They won it. Okay. Uh-huh. So we have to acknowledge the fact within the conference that St. Louis had begun to make moves anyway, and they're beginning to do more and more. They have the quarterback now, and now what they want to do is they want to put weapons around them. Last year they drafted two wide receivers. This year they got Tavon Austin, the playmaker, more of a Percy Harvin-esque type of player. He fits that kind of mold. I just think he's a little small here. I would agree with everyone who says that you never see anyone get a clean, clear shot on him, and he's always they figured out a way in the NFL, excuse me, in college at West Virginia to get him in space. That's what you want to do with an individual like him. I just think that be careful how you use him. He might be a Swiss Army knife.
Don't want to overuse him, have him be your go-to guy in certain situations. You got to be careful and mindful of that. He also fits the bill for Amendola leaving.
Yeah.
The fact that he's gone. You know, but who knows?
I mean, see, I think people like Amendola, I hate to say it, Wes Welker, those kind of guys are replaceable. I don't want to knock the statistics
those guys are a dime a dozen.
And the productivity of Wes Welker or Amendola.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't want to do that. But nonetheless, I think if you can find a slot player that can play in the space, they can have the same kind of production.
Exactly.
So, and he's definitely a guy who can play in space.
Yes.
So we see that clearly the St. Louis Rams are addressing need. And they're also selecting best player available. Unlike, let's move down to the Jets. Now, the Jets, I like D. Milner.
Uh-huh.
And I know that you're saying, okay, this may be need because we just lost
Darrell Revis.
And they're saying D. Milner, although not as athletic, can still possibly be a Darrell Revis type of player.
Yeah.
They're saying that he's bigger for one. He's bigger.
Yeah.
He's not substantially bigger, but he's 6 feet, 200 pounds.
200, yep.
Cover skills are very good. He's very good one-on-one, and he's played in a sophisticated system a la playing in Alabama. Mind you, SEC showed his dominance. 12 players of the 32 in the first round were from the SEC.
Took him a while to get there, though. Took him a while.
First SEC player taken was at number 6, though, which is shocked me. I really was. I figured SEC being dominant, SEC being, you know, big competition, they usually, of course, 9, 10, 11, you know, Bama players.
What do you need, though? You see, what did those teams need that were selecting in front of them? Because that dictates it as well. We can all agree with that. Because the two tackles that we have, they didn't play in the Big Ten. They didn't play in the SEC.
However, I believe
Detroit. No, you're wrong. The second. Remember, A&M now is no longer Big 12.
That's right.
They're the SEC, so they were second player. Yeah, second player was the SEC player.
Okay, my mistake. I think that Detroit messed up, though, by taking Ziggy Ansah.
I don't like that kind of pick either, but they're thinking JPP.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're thinking. They're thinking
he's
JPP.
He's raw. I think they should have picked up Mingo out of LSU, though.
Barkevious Mingo went six overall to Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
So, but what did they need? They need still a quarterback, but you're going to see a run on that anyway in the second round. With the quarterbacks, they need a lot of help, actually.
Cleveland needs more help than anybody, I believe.
Yeah, but Barkevious Mingo, what does that mean that they're doing? Are they now going to a 3-4 where he's going to be a stand-up, or he's...
I believe they're going to a 4-3.
Okay, so he's going to play outside in?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's going to have to gain some...
Hey, let me ask you guys this. Okay, you got first, second, third, all the way to seventh. Does it stop at seventh
or eighth? It stops at seventh.
Okay, you go through all these. Okay, so let's say they have the cap where the rookies, they get drafted, they can only make X amount of dollars. Anybody know what the slot is, what the X amount is?
Basically, it's, let me see, Andrew Luck last year made $20 million and all of it's guaranteed.
$20 million. Okay, so that they have to negotiate up to $20 million. Is that
they're going to set the benchmark. Whatever that Ricky Pool is, just add about 5%. That'll be what number one gets.
Number one. So number six doesn't get the same.
No, this you slot it.
Okay,
you slot it. You slot it. Just take whatever number six got. Put about 5% on it.
Okay, so what do you think your second rounders will get?
Well, the second rounders usually will get a 3 to 4 year package totaling somewhere about $1.5 million, right up in there.
$1.5 million. Total. No guarantee.
The contracts are different because the contracts are different now. So a lot of them are guaranteed. Okay. But when you start getting the second round, no. But if you drafted someone in the second round, I mean, that person's going to make your team. Yeah. That person's going to make your team.
But let's say Geno, is Geno Smith?
Geno Smith.
How much did he lose yesterday?
Well, he was projected to be the first quarterback, and he was projected at the eighth slot, was it, for Cleveland?
Okay.
Buffalo, excuse me, eighth. So he cost himself easily $10 to $15 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He cost about $10 to $15 million. Yeah, it's going to be that much of a swing.
I think that attitude is going to affect him, too, though. The fact that he said, I'm not coming back tomorrow. I'm going to leave early. He didn't stay the whole time.
Hey, but you know something? When he gets on a team, he's going to play his butt off. He's going to
look at Russell Wilson. Look at Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that he's, by him deciding to come back, his agent, his fans talked to him and said, hey, this isn't a good look for you. You need to be there.
His agent was the one who basically encouraged him. We know that to come back. You know, the young man's upset. He was projected to go, you know, very high in the draft. And then
I believe top quarterback, you know, in this draft.
Right.
You know, Buffalo taking E.J. Manuel.
And then they take E.J. Manuel.
Huge reach. Huge reach. I mean, you've got Barkley, Nassib, Smith, all these guys on the board, and you take Manuel?
Well, it depends on what you want to do, too. Now, a lot of people have said he has potentially the most upside. To be the best. Okay. To be the best. A lot are saying that, but he's not the best at this juncture.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You have some inconsistencies with him. You have some ball security issues with him, but very athletic. Very large, has a presence about him, seems to be intelligent. He's made the honor roll, all ACC teams, academic teams. He's a leader. So you got a lot to really work with an E.J. Manuel. Do I think he was the 16th pick? No, I don't. I think all of these quarterbacks actually should have been drafted in the second round, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's where the value is for those quarterbacks, okay? But nonetheless, E.J. Manuel, although a shock, not a terrible shot, if you will.
Then again, it is Buffalo. Who watches Buffalo games?
Buffalo, like those insecurities, man. They know they need a quarterback. They need to shake it up.
Now, what's this mean for Kevin Cobb?
Well, Kevin Cobb is just going to keep the seat warm for the next probably year and a half, maybe to 2 years, and then they're going to turn the reins over to E.J. Manuel because he's going to become the face of the franchise now.
Yeah,
and
look at Kaepernick. He sat a year.
Yep.
Smith gets hurt. He comes in.
His team now. Right.
So Kevin Cobb goes to Buffalo thinking, oh, we're going to win a Super Bowl, which we all know is not going to happen.
Right.
E.J. Manuel's coming out there now. Definitely going to be some competition.
Yeah, and the concepts now with respect to the offense that you're going to run with an E.J. Manuel now will incorporate some zone read. You're going to run some plays.
The athleticism
that you're going to use for him.
Because Cobb doesn't have it.
No. He's a classic drop back type passer.
Cobb is a backup quarterback.
Yes.
He's a franchise backup quarterback. Let me sit the bench. Let me hold a clipboard.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You can make a nice how to do it. I will gladly hold a clipboard.
I've always said, if I got to sit the bench, but you're going to pay me to do it, by all means, I will do it.
Yeah. I wouldn't either. I'm a player. I'm going to go somewhere else.
No.
I don't care how much money.
Hey, not everybody can be on the first team.
Who's the backup in Baltimore? Backup quarterback in Baltimore.
Tyrod Taylor.
What did he do this past year?
He held a clipboard.
And what's he got now?
He got a Super Bowl ring.
Exactly.
And not everybody can start. That's why it's only 22 coveted positions on each and every team. And, again, with the NFL draft, we have several people trying to make headwaves to carry themselves to the Super Bowl. We got Minnesota moving and shaking. Got three draft picks, and I thought they did very well as well. Starting with Sharif Floyd.
Sharif Floyd
is nice.
Should not have gone to Minnesota.
He should have gone earlier is what you're saying.
He should have gone either 3 to Oakland, but Miami moved up, so they went down to 12.
Right.
We need a tackle, defensive tackle. The Raiders do. Highly needed.
And before we even go there, let's talk about what they did here because we had some impact with the local product, Deion Jordan. Let's talk about what Miami did. Miami was able to trade up, and when everyone thought that they were going to go with Lance Johnson because they do need a left tackle, losing Jake Long, what do? They pick homegrown product, Chandler product, Deion Jordan. He's a former Cheetah.
Deion Jordan came here?
Deion Jordan's from here.
Oh, okay.
Chandler, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Okay, University of Oregon. I thought that was a little odd. I'll just say that.
It is odd, but they are comparing him to Jason Taylor. So now, does that get to his head and he think, okay, I'm the next Jason Taylor?
Well, I hope he thinks he's the next Jason Taylor, because hopefully he can begin to groom himself and begin to play like a Jason Taylor.
And he's another hybrid player, too.
Yeah, because he's 250 pounds. You're not going to put him on the hand in the ground, because I'm going to run at him.
Yes.
At 250 pounds, we are going to smack that all over the floor. And on that, we need to go to a break. Bring us around, Mr. Engineer. Stay with us. Voice of America Sports, Planet Gridiron.
Can y'all hear me out there? Let's go. Let's eat it pop. Let's eat it pop. I'm all in.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works. I'm starting, I'm bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done. And Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio here on Voice America Sports, a leader in internet media.
Yes, we are back, and we're going to pick it up, and we're going to take it all the way to the line, and that's going to be talking about this NFL draft. You know, we've talked about some of the draft picks, but let's talk about some of the not draft picks that were projected to go in the first round. I think the first one who has to be the most disappointed would be, obviously, Sheldon Geno Smith.
Yes. Geno Smith out of West Virginia definitely should have gone, I believe, but now that he's in the second round, probably won't slip past New York.
Okay.
Going to the Jets, which raises questions, who's going to run quarterback out there? You got Sanchez, you got Tebow. Hopefully they get Smith. Somebody's going to sit the bench for sure. Who's going to get cut?
And they got David Garrard there, too.
This is true.
Yeah.
David Garrard, big presence.
Yeah.
Big presence.
So
definitely competition. Somebody's out of a job.
Well, you know,
by August.
You know, if they select in the second round, if they go Geno Smith, then you know Geno Smith's making the team. Tebow's not making the team.
What do you do with Tebow? Cut him?
You cut him.
Trade him for a fifth, sixth rounder?
Whoever would take Tim Tebow need to be fired. Because you've already seen. Unless you are going to design the exact same offense that you used at Florida, okay? Or unless you're going to move him strictly now to H-back, there's no reason to take a Tim Tebow. He doesn't do enough for your team. Okay, to warrant his selection and for
his could a player ask to be cut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They ask to be released. That happens all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
He ought to go to Canada.
Yeah, well, no. I think he has
What's
too much ego.
What's he going to do
ego.
In Canada?
I think
go
he has too much ego.
Canada.
He has too much ego.
Well, they all do.
Yeah, it's too much ego.
I do, too.
I'd go to Canada if they paid me, and I still wanted to play football.
Yeah.
And I still wanted to play at a high level. I mean, I like Canadian rule football, but it's not the NFL.
Right, right.
You know, another person who had to be definitely disappointed would certainly be Manti Te'o.
Manti Te'o, yeah.
And a lot of people have said that he was, in fact, a first-round talent. I thought he was. I did. But, you know.
Where would he have gone?
Well, there were teams that were definitely could have used him. Minnesota could have used him. Chicago,
yeah, because where's Urlacher?
Urlacher's gone. He's done.
Is he a free agent?
He's free agent. Done.
Okay.
He's done.
Minnesota did have three picks. I thought with that late trade, when they picked up Patterson.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
I thought that's when they were going to take him.
I thought that that would be the one, and if it wasn't going to be them, potentially you also had Green Bay as a possibility of taking him. And they went Didn't they go Dayton Jones?
Dayton Jones out of UCLA.
Okay, UCLA. Yeah, that actually is a good, solid pick for them.
Uh-huh.
They had some trouble stopping the run, as we know, and you got the great AD.
I figured that Taylor was going to go to 32 to Baltimore. I really thought that, watching the combine, numbers, of course, weren't there. With Harbaugh, you know, you look at his reaction to that 4.8, 4.9, 40, whatever he ran.
4.82, yeah.
He didn't want that, especially with Lewis being gone.
Right.
Ed Reed gone, you're going to need a leader. You got Terrell Suggs, definitely.
Who also ran 4.8, by the way, in the combine.
Exactly. So,
okay, so.
In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, Teo's straight speed, 4.8, okay. But his game film.
Right.
You watch what he did.
Right.
But that defense he had funneled it to him. So his game film, of course, is going to make him look outstanding.
Well, in Baltimore, that's what they do. I mean, great as Ray Lewis was and is, hey, the reason why he was as dominant and could excel is also because of the two big tackles.
Uh-huh.
You know, he started out with McCrary, and it was Adams, and then now he got to play with Lotinata, and then who's the other guy? It's another big guy, Jones, Bones' brother, starts.
Okay.
John Jones. So his brother plays in there as well. So you have these big linemen that can take up, and they keep they take up space for one, and they keep these big linemen from getting on top of the linebacker. So same kind of system that they play. But I thought that you have 4 years of film on Manti Te'o. Regardless of whether or not he can run fast or not, he might be James Laurinaitis. And James Laurinaitis gets it done. And uh-huh. he's a guy around the 4.7, 4.8 guy who's very productive, plays extremely well for what the St. Louis Rams ask him to do.
I think that Te'o doesn't slip past 39 to New York. He could come here to Arizona at 38, too.
Yep, he could
so be. It's just, what are GM thinking? What's he thinking?
Yeah, right.
And the fact with you got Barkley on the board still, Eddie Lacy. No running back taken in the first round.
Since 63?
50 years.
Yep.
50 years. So something's going to change. And quit.
Well, I think it goes to what everyone's saying now. The running back position is devalued, and most GMs and teams believe that they can get a good running back almost at any round. And if they don't have the rounds, hey, look at Arian Foster.
Undrafted free agent.
He's an undrafted free agent, and he's put, I think, 3 back-to-back 1,400 yards or more seasons back-to-back.
Very productive.
And the reason why is because, let's be honest, a running back, the skill set's the same. Okay?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
The skill set's always the same. So, and all these people you see that play cornerback and all this other stuff, ask them what they played in high school. They're going to use, most of them are going to play running back. So that kind of position there, I agree. It's devalued. Unless you can get a special talent. And when we say special, it's got to be like an AD, Adrian Peterson.
Oh, man, that's like elite.
Yeah,
right there.
That's right.
Man.
And then you have, you know, last year, though, we can't forget, third overall was Trent Richardson.
And what did he do?
And he broke the Cleveland Brown rookie record, and he scored about 8 to 10 touchdowns.
He had franchise numbers, but I feel he should have done more. They should have fed him more instead of relying on Brandon Whedon as much as they did.
Well, that's more of a Cleveland problem than a Richardson problem.
That's true. I mean, but Cleveland, you know, who knows? Cleveland's trying to make noise, but they never do. They had Brady Quinn. What did he do?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a Brady Quinn fan when he was at Notre Dame, so whatever.
Brady Quinn reminds me of Barkley. Because Barkley's going to come in and sit the bench. He's not. I think Barkley shouldn't go to third or fourth round.
He's a second, third round talent. Second, third round talent.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't. You know, Greg Cosell indicated to any his evaluation of him. He's what you're saying, third or fourth round talent, because he doesn't have elite size. He doesn't have an elite arm. He's slow of foot, not very athletic.
And the you look at the teams in the league, who needs a quarterback now?
Quite a few.
I mean, I in my opinion, Barkley doesn't have a job, I mean, for a couple of years.
If he goes to Jacksonville, he starts now because he's better than Blaine Gabbert.
Won't let that happen. I don't think Gabbert will let that happen.
I thought Gabbert was horrible anyway when he came out.
Really?
Yeah, I never had that love for him. He 16 touchdowns, I think he threw for maybe 7 interceptions his senior year in a spread offense. I don't want to hear he didn't have all these weapons, neither did Cam Newton. Cam Newton was number one.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody
Luck wants to say. Didn't have options. RG3 didn't have options.
Right.
So.
And Andrew Luck had the benefit of one. He is and was the most prepared to go into the next level.
Uh-huh.
He did play in a pro-style offense, and he did at least was able to make up some of the deficits he had because of the two tight ends he played with.
Eifert and Ertz, was it, right?
Well, Eifert's with Notre Dame. Ertz and Tolalo. Okay, yeah. So he had to play with those. Because on the outside, I think number 88, I can't remember his name for them. He was a freshman the year they played Blackman. So that would have been the senior year of also Andrew Luck. He showed some things and some signs of maybe being a breakout type of a big play receiver. I cannot remember that guy's name. But you're right. He did not have a wealth of talent. Yet he's doing extremely well in the NFL. Whereas you look at Blaine Gabbert, man, Blaine Gabbert, poop butt. And I'm telling you now, I think they are going to select, they being the Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe they will select a quarterback this round. And if they get Matt Barkley.
They have the first pick in the second round.
And if they get Matt Barkley, he's starting. If they get Geno Smith, he's starting.
I think if anything, Geno goes to Jacksonville.
You think Geno's going to be the first pick?
If anything, yeah.
Okay.
Because that's what everybody's talking about.
Well, where does Ed Lacy go? Because you do have people that still need running backs.
Philadelphia.
Okay.
Right there at 35.
How about, well, he won't last to Green Bay. He won't last to Green Bay. Green Bay could use a running back. You know, let me see who else could use one. Cincinnati could use one, too.
Cincinnati, yep.
And then that's when you start moving into Detroit. John Brandt. Detroit could use one, right?
Arizona could use one.
Yeah, we could use a running back.
Tennessee got Chris Johnson.
And they also signed Sean Green, remember?
Yeah.
They took him from New York, so they're not really needing.
So those first 10 or so
picks. Jacksonville
so
could use one, too, because Rich McCollum, he's starting to get a little long in the tooth.
Yep.
And San Francisco.
Frank Gore. They're good.
Well, Frank Gore's been in now. He's been in long enough now that he is now the all-time leading rusher in San Francisco history. So what's that, six, 7 years? Got to be.
Yeah.
And two repair needs, right.
If not eight, you know. And
they're saying Marcus Lattimore there.
Where's he at? Marcus Lattimore hasn't been drafted
yet. No, that's what they're saying. They said potentially Marcus Lattimore for San Francisco because they have so many picks, they don't need a person to play right away.
Got you. Okay. I don't think Lattimore gets picked over Lacy to San Francisco, though.
If both are sitting there, I'm taking Lacy.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Just because of health. I mean, and
Lacy's a baller.
Yeah.
I like Lacy. I like him a lot. I like John Franklin out of UCLA. I like him better than I like Monty Ball.
I don't like Monty Ball.
I don't either. Some,
I don't know if it's because I'm a Michigan boy, but Monty Ball didn't astound me like everybody got this stuff.
Monty Ball is the same back that plays at Wisconsin. It's a back that's good with ball security, plays behind a huge offensive line and not touched until he's 6 yards down the line.
Yeah.
But that's more the product of the offense that they run than it is, in my opinion, the necessarily talent that a running back comes in with. Who also would be a sleeper, in my opinion, if he can regain the form, is Nile Davis. Came out of Arkansas.
Very true.
Now, if he can gain the form he had his sophomore year,
he'd be bad for anybody.
Let's not forget the running backs that are coming out of LSU. Michael Ford is coming out this year. You also have Spencer Ware coming out this year. I like all very versatile. Spencer Ware, I didn't realize this, was a quarterback in high school. Yeah.
Yep.
He came out of Cincinnati and came down and he did quite well.
Sir.
And he's a good baseball player, by the way, so we know good athlete. So the running back position and the quarterback position will begin, I think, second, third round. You'll begin to get more value.
Uh-huh.
For the players that you're selecting at that point in the draft.
Start being guys that are going to come in, fill their role, do what they're supposed to do.
And they're going
to
be a play.
And
they're going to be a play this year and contribute.
And a lot of guys can get some work on the return game.
And we mustn't forget also the wide receivers. There are a bevy of very good wide receivers that weren't selected. Of course, you had Cordarrelle Patterson and you had, DeAndre Hopkins that came out of Clemson.
Yeah.
He got drafted in the first round. And obviously, Tavon Austin, which is more of a different kind. But do you remember Sean Bailey? The name of that was a guy who played opposite of Tavon Austin.
He might have actually better hands.
He was a high school teammate of Geno Smith. So he's more projected going the third round. And I love Robert Woods.
Where's he coming out of?
He's USC. So you forgot about him because of Marquise.
Yeah.
But he's the all-time leading receiver in USC history is Robert Woods. So I really, really like Robert Woods. I think whoever gets him is going to get a polished receiver. He's not a speedster burner, but he has decent size. He's over 6 feet tall. He's 190, 200-pound wide receiver. Very good route runner. A hand catcher, too, as opposed to Cordarrelle Patterson, who's more of a body catcher. Yeah.
Yeah. You watch his film. Some catches with his hands, but a lot of his sideline catches with his body. He's
got
to go get it.
What's amazing about him, though, is that athleticism. A guy that big and fast as he is, he has running back skills in the open field.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he kind of.
They're comparing him to Percy Harvin.
He's a big, yeah, yeah.
He's just bigger,
as dynamic and physical, and I think he contributes also. And he's going to be groomed under the wing of the consummate pro, as they say, Greg Jennings, who now has come over to help him and assist him as he transitions.
Which was shocking to me.
Well, and he needs this because Cordarrelle Patterson is very raw.
Raw.
You only play one season in major college football, 2 years from the JUCO ranks in Hutchinson College, I believe he played in. And so he's a lot of work, but he's a project. But he can do quite well. And I think, actually, I'll go back to him again. I think Robert Woods is better suited to do quite well in the NFL, even more so than the guys who were even drafted in the first round. But on that note, we still got to go to a break. So, Mr. Engineer, carry us out. Stay with us, folks. Voice America Sports, your leader in internet media.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, that's presented to you by Outdoor Channel.
On this week's program, we'll have Gary Hamby from Deer Dirt and outdoor writer Scott Bestial, and he'll tell us how to use chainsaws for deer management.
Hey, we also have another outdoor writer, David Hart, and Brent Eaton with Polaris. I love Polaris.
When we talk about food plots and deer management.
And as always, it's brought to you by Outdoor Channel and Ram Trucks.
Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And we're back. Bringing you around for that last segment, Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron, your leader in internet media. And Sheldon, before we went to break, we were chopping it up as always. We chop it up, but more so with respect to that NFL draft. One round down, several more to go. I think we have, what, the second and third round today?
Third round.
And then Saturday will be 4-7, right?
Yep.
Okay, all right. And like we already said, coming on the board, who should have his spirits lifted and should be motivated, should be a la Mr. Geno Smith.
Uh-huh.
And it could...
He should definitely go in tonight. Just know your name will be called by
right.
tonight.
Your so treat it like it's the first round.
Treat it like it's the first round. And you look at the great quarter. Even Aaron Rodgers reached out to him.
I saw it. Said, I did see that. Very up. Nice. Keep your head up.
Keep
good
head
things
up.
Come to those who wait. And I saw that.
Now, think about the quarterbacks who did go late. Brady went
sixth round. Yeah.
Russell Wilson,
third round. Yeah.
Look how productive they were.
Yeah. And I know Ryan Mallett over there, even though he hasn't played because he's behind Brady, he went third round and he's itching at the bit, and he's a hot commodity.
Uh-huh.
You saw that Patriots were fielding calls. And also another demonstration of people or teams that know what they're doing in the draft. Patriots. The Patriots are like,
How many picks did they get? Like four
right,
or five?
Right. They said, okay, you know what? We're not enamored so much that we're willing to stay in the first round when we can get value in the second, third, and the later rounds, and then they amass even more picks.
Yeah.
They are the Cowboys of the 90s, the Patriots of the present day.
Yeah.
Because the Cowboys. And speaking of the Cowboys, I think they reached in order to get the center out of Wisconsin. Do you recall his name? Let's see if we can go back to it to see in the first round. But they may have reached, but it was
Travis Frederick.
Yes, out of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I do believe it was a need, though. You know, they had some center quarterback exchange issues, and he can address an issue that they need to have addressed.
And with Romo getting that 5-year deal. 5-6 year
You got to address the offensive line.
You have to.
You got to
protect them.
But drafting at 18, you knew that they weren't going to be able to get one of the bigger name quality tackles.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, because this draft is so deep, does not mean you will not be able to get a good tackle even in the later rounds.
This is true. I mean, it is a deep draft.
Yes.
I mean, skill position wise, those guys are going to be there.
Yeah.
Those guys will be there. Those are going to be your return guys. But your big guys, your big boys, those come, you better pick them up quick.
Well, yeah. Especially the quality that they have and the depth that they have. A little bit shocking was the drafting of, I think it's Kyle Long by Chicago. A lot of people are saying it's not much of a reach. He is obviously the youngest son, I believe, of Howie Long. So he got drafted, I believe, 20th overall to Chicago, as a guard out of Oregon. Yeah. I've seen him play. He's, very raw. You know, but the athletic ability.
A lot
ability,
of these athletes are very raw.
Yes.
A lot of them are.
Because remember, he was a baseball player. He went initially to Florida State out of high school to play baseball.
Yeah.
So he played a few years there, and then he went the JUCO route, and then he ultimately ended up at Oregon, where he was a guard, long arms, fast, athletic. He was one to run under 5 seconds, also in the 40.
Which is big for guards nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any lineman is doing that, true. You know, because a fast lineman
is running. Can you imagine 300 pounds coming
exactly.
at you, running a 4.7, 4.
Right.
Move.
And that's what Lane Johnson offers to you. He ran like the 4.7, he vertical 38 inches. But you're looking at an individual that also played quarterback and outgrew the position.
Yeah.
Quarterback, tight end, and now he's playing tackle. Yeah. So,
Kyle Long, going back to Kyle Long out of Oregon, my buddy Ryan Clayton played next to him.
Okay.
At right guard.
Okay.
So, Clayton, he's not up there. He's not a second, third rounder, unfortunately, but I've played with this guy. I've worked out with Clayton.
Okay.
Wherever he goes, hopefully Oakland, because that's my boy right there. Hopefully Oakland. But wherever Clayton goes, I believe he's going to give you first round effort.
Okay.
He went to Oregon. He went to community college out in San Francisco.
Okay.
And then coming out of Bakersfield, nobody really knew about him. He's kind of a quieter name, but when his name is called, and hopefully it gets called soon, watch out. That's all I got to say.
All right. Okay.
Watch out. Same thing on Brandon McGee.
Coming out of ASU. He'll probably be drafted
tonight.
He'll be a third rounder, in my opinion, and if not, he'll be drafted Saturday in the fourth because he's a good talent. He'll be able to play on your special teams. He'll be able to contribute. Yeah. So,
and I've worked out with Brandon as well.
Okay.
I've done a couple of drills with him, you know, raw, and it's amazing what this boy can do.
Okay.
And a lot of these guys that go later in the draft, I believe – they feel like they have a chip on their shoulder to do something.
Well, they
to
do. Show up. You know, in fact, I was watching and they were talking to some of the guys who got drafted late, like MJD was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I should be first overall. And Ray Rice, same thing. Ray Rice said he had to walk out and go get some fresh air. He was so upset, you know. And everybody thinks that they should be in the first round. But, folks, hey, it's only 32 picks.
Yeah.
Everybody can. Hey, you know what? We glossed over a star Lotelli. Latulele, he went to Utah, went to Carolina with the 12th pick of the first round. 14. So we know that they were vibing him. You know, he fell a little bit because of the medical issues.
Which everybody has medical. Look at Arian Foster.
Yeah.
The past 2 years, he's got a heart murmur. He's got an irregular heartbeat.
You're like, yeah, I had that for years.
Yeah. Look at your adrenaline. Of course you're going to have an irregular heartbeat. Come on.
Well, you know, they invest a lot of money. I can understand and appreciate the concern, but he got cleared.
Yeah.
And he's going to get an opportunity at least to realize his dream.
Yeah.
And there are still a lot of people, you know, just keep the faith, keep up. You know, we talked briefly. Matt Barkley, you know, will get an opportunity as well.
Yeah.
And so there are a host of Jamar Williams. I think you're going to see a run on safeties. Eric Reed, I thought, was an excellent pick for San Francisco. They lost to Sean Golden. Now we bring in another big, hard-hitting safety out of LSU to now join the ranks. Excellent pick, in my opinion.
How about Jarvis Jones from Georgia going to Pittsburgh?
Yes, he's going to Pittsburgh. That's right.
Big.
17th overall, I think it was.
17.
Yeah,
17. Especially with James Harrison
leaving
to Cleveland, I believe it was.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, that's where it
was. Right. Yeah, Cincinnati. So, but you have Jarvis Jones.
Even then, it's within the division.
Yep.
Which, to me, kind of hurts James Harrison, his feelings, whatever you want to call it. He's going to be big in those two games against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but, I mean, everybody's replaceable. They could not afford to have him at that price tag.
They
were willing to work with him, but he was unwilling to take the pay cut. And, hey, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
It's time to move on.
He's not the face of the franchise anyway. So.
Right, it's still Roethlisberger. It's going to be Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
But, you know, what was an interesting pick was a troubled child, but he still made it in the first round, was Alec Ogletree out of Georgia. He went to St. Louis with their second pick. And that could have been a place also that Metateo could have landed. There was some consideration given for that into him. I like Alec Ogletree. I do. I don't like the off-the-field issues and problems that he's had. But nonetheless, I do appreciate the talent, the fact that he's played in the SEC, and the fact that he is he missed as many games as he did, but yet you know, still got it done, if you will. I think he led the team in tackles, even though he missed like four games.
Yeah, him and Jarvis Jones were up there for tackles. But in my book, moving to corner, I think the best corner is still out there in Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand strong on it. Tyrann Mathieu is the best corner in this draft. Wherever he lands, he's going to end up being the face of the franchise, I believe.
I got you.
I mean, if wherever he goes, he's going to return the ball. There's no way you don't look at this guy, watch his film, and watch what he does with the ball in his hand defensively, and watch how he plays for his size.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays with his heart.
I think he gets selected today. I mean, he's at worst a third round.
Reggie McKenzie, 42, pick Tyrann Mathieu. Do something smart, finally.
You know, you might be harping on how your Raiders perform, but I thought the DJ Hayden.
Yeah,
he's a good defensive back. He projects well at the next level.
We do need the help.
You need DBs.
Yeah,
some DBs.
You can never have too many DBs. And with DJ Hayden, you know, it sounds like he's excited to play. Sounds like he's ready to get ready to work.
Yeah,
which is good. I mean, is he gonna come in there? We lost Rolando McClain.
Right.
So that's.
Yeah.
I said that when we picked him up. I was like, what are we doing? He did his thing for a few years. He's gone. DJ Hayden coming in. Hopefully he comes in with that mindset. Let's go get a ring.
Well, I like DJ Hayden. I think a lot of people projected him as being very close, if you will, with D. Milner.
D. Milner, yes.
My personal opinion, I thought D. Milner was by far the best corner. And that's not knocking Hayden. I just liked Milner that much. And frankly, it's because I had an opportunity, or most of us had an opportunity to see him play, because he played in Alabama, whereas you had Conference USA in Houston. So, still impressive, you know, and that, it remains to be seen.
And maybe we're knocking conferences too much. Maybe it just comes down to who's the better athlete, who's going to be the better productive athlete in the league.
Well, obviously, we do put a lot of credence in light of the fact that everyone was saying, hey, it should be Luke Jokel just by the mere fact, right. And even you said it, you know, SEC Big 12.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily always how it's seen. You know what's going to be interesting is they have a defensive tackle. I forget his name, but folks, keep an eye on him. He's out of Missouri Western, but he went into the Senior Bowl and performed extremely well. He's a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Very raw.
I can picture him. I can't think of his name, though.
He's very aggressive and played extremely well, and they said that, hey, he stood up very well against competition. So what we're saying out there for all you out here, because we got to shut it down at this point, is that keep hope alive. We got another six more rounds to go, and all is not lost yet. Let's hope our GMs do what they need to do so we can have a productive, happy season. But at the end of the day, let's be honest, not everybody can go undefeated to go to the Super Bowl. Only two can do that. So with that, folks, we are out of here. Happy Friday to you. Dave Lockhart, Sheldon, and Rona Hill. Y'all be good. Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.